God's Guides for Stewardship. We are going to study some guidelines that the Lord lays down to indicate the areas in which we should exercise our stewardship. The key text is, "According to your faith, be it unto you." If you will take the 37 or 38 miracles that were performed by Jesus Christ, each one displays a different area of the exercise of faith. Every miracle required faith, implicit trust in God and God's will. In some villages, Christ could do no miracle because they had no faith. In other villages, there was not a single sick or ailing person left whom his miraculous power had not immediately restored because there was faith. So in this question of stewardship, the Christian must exercise faith. Part number one, the tithe should be returned first. God has laid down the principle that we should give him the tithe of all our increase. Notice the language. All the tithe is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. The language is very similar to the Sabbath. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. So the tithe and the Sabbath have both been demanded of God, a seventh of our time and a tenth of our increase. What is the increase? This is left for every man to define for himself. On his knees, he should study to find out exactly that upon which he should pay his tithe. And I think God has not specified more fully what the increase is, just to see how much trust and faith we have in him. We are to bring all the tithe into the storehouse. If you will compare Nehemiah 13:12 with Malachi 3:10, you will discover that the storehouse and the treasurer are interchangeable terms. So we should bring our tithes to the duly appointed treasurer so that he may take charge of what we give to the Lord. It is a matter of strict honesty and simple honesty to return the tithe. After the tithe has been set apart, then we should offer gifts and offerings. The tithe is not a gift. The tithe is not an offering. It is something that God requires, and if we do not give God the tithe, we are stealing, because the tithe does not belong to us. But with the nine-tenths, he checks our generosity and sees what kind of gifts and offerings we shall make. Part number two, what is a guideline for giving offerings? The first point is that on the first day of the week, everyone should lay by him, that is at home, in store, kept by, set aside, just as God prospered him, so that when the missionary comes, there will be no rushing around to try to find what sort of an offering was to be given. This, of course, is Paul's advice to the Corinthian church, and it's valid for us. The principle here laid down is that at the beginning of the week, when we are allocating our monies for the week, we should lay aside for God, just as he has prospered us, offerings. We don't know what we're going to give them for yet, but we lay them aside, so that when Paul, or the representative of the church, comes, we may have something to give. The final note in this section is very interesting. To promote the assembling of the people for religious service, provide them ways and means, the offerings were to be given. And then there were, beside the tithe, thank offerings for the priests, for religious feasts, for all the other activities attached to the church. So the first guideline is that we should set aside at the beginning, as soon as we get our paycheck, what we are going to give to the Lord. Guideline number two. we should realize that if we fail, we are robbing God. The people of Israel robbed God in tithes and offerings. Had they been doing what God required, their contributions would have amounted to 1/4. This is the statement from Patriarchs and Prophets 527. There is another note in this section, taken from Testimonies, Volume 4, page 467, that the conscientious few in Israel returned to God about 1/3 of all their increase. They paid their tithe, and then they used from 15 to 20 or more percent to carry out their other obligations. And notice what Ellen White says, what these obligations were. They were to pay money to ransom their firstborn. They were to give their first fruits of their flocks, the first gathering of the harvest. They were to leave the corners of the field for the destitute. Anything dropped from their hands when they were reaping was left for the poor. Every 7 years, the land was not to produce. So 1/7 of every 7 years, produce belonged to the birds and the animals. Then there were sacrificial offerings of various kinds. There were expenses for hospitality, gifts to the poor, assessments upon their property. All this they had to give in order to maintain the cause of God. So the guideline, if we take from Israel's point of view, was for the conscientious, 25% or 33%. I think the minimum that we in these last days should give is a second tithe that we use for our offerings of various kinds. The third guideline is the illustration used by Paul. I count all things, he says, but loss for the excellency of Christ. I have suffered the loss of all things, that I may win Christ. And Paul makes quite a list there in Philippians chapter 3. He belonged to the best religious society. He was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was educated in the school of Gamaliel. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. There was very much that he might accomplish if he wanted to, by way of ambition. But all this he laid aside. Evidently, when he began his gospel ministry, he had a certain amount of money. But he spent this all for furthering the cause of God. And then he had to resort to working with his hands at his trade. So what Paul did, since he was well and able to make a living, he didn't bother to keep a bank balance, but gave all to further the cause, and then worked day by day, as the necessity demanded. Part number 5. All that we have should be put in a living trust. Jesus said, unless you forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. Disciple means subject to discipline. And Jesus Christ put all heaven at our disposal. And this section stresses the fact that we should put everything in trust, in a properly drawn out will. Many professed Christians, Ellen White says, put off the claims of Jesus in this life and insult him by giving him a mere pittance at death. God purposes that we shall make a will. Making a will won't hasten our death by 1 minute. But when we are possessed of sound mind and right judgment, let us think out what we're going to do with our resources and realize that if our children are well able to take care of themselves, to give them money just for money's sake may not help them. If we want to give them something, let us use discretion, but let us remember the Lord even in our wills. And the final section again calls attention to what we should do in these last days. All the Bible illustrations are for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. The gospel is extending. It's widening. More and more demands are made upon us. Money is shriveling in value. God requires of us today not less, but greater gifts than He gave in days gone by. As we think of the guidelines of stewardship that God has left to us, it is one, the major one, is responsibility to use our resources for the more rapid expansion of the cause of God. Let us turn away from self. Let us realize all as God has given to us, and let us devote to Him and to His cause the resources He has entrusted to us.